Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Business of Music podcast, where we teach you everything you need to know about owning and growing a music business. My name is Elliot Towsley, and my business partner James Landry and I are your hosts. Shoot us an email to contact@denovoagency.com so we can answer your questions on our next podcast. And to learn even more, subscribe to our YouTube channel and sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of the Business of Music podcast.
All right. Q&A today?
Yeah. Okay. Hey, welcome back. This is the Business of Music podcast. My name is Elliot. That's James. Back to doing the introduction the same way we always used to, but hey, who cares? This podcast is really for all of you. One thing I think is very interesting is, you know, I think a lot of people, this is a total tangent, but a lot of people want or are afraid to do things like a podcast or to go live on their Instagram or to do a thing on Facebook where I get my fans in here. I'm going to do some Q&A. And they're afraid that when 9 people show up, it looks bad, right? But you got to start somewhere. And if you're always afraid of, you know, well, 10,000 people aren't going to show up to my live, it's not worth doing. No one's ever going to show up if you don't start. And what James and I do for this podcast, you know, our most streamed podcast might have like 500 or 600 streams, right? So we're not doing this podcast to get 50,000 people checking us out. But I bet 80 to 90% of the people who checked out a podcast are people who either are customers or who are thinking about becoming a customer. So think about it that way. We don't need 50,000 people checking out our podcast because we can't handle 50,000 customers. We want, you know, 50 to 100 good ones. And our podcast is effective for us because, yeah, maybe 500 people check out the podcast, but we also get an hour worth of video content for it that we can, one, now on YouTube, we've got an hour-long podcast. Check out the whole thing if you want. But what we also do is now we take that 1 hour of content and you cut it up. You take one segment. Here's a 3-minute segment talking about marketing. Here's a 5-minute segment talking about what music distribution is. Here's a 10-minute good conversation to going back and forth about God knows what. So the thing is this is a total tangent, but it's a good point. And I think people get afraid of whether they're starting a business or a music, their music or a music business, whatever it is they're doing, they're afraid of, well, I don't want to go live with so-and-so and do this thing, you know, only 10 or 15 people are going to show up. Well, you're not going to get to the status of having 10,000 people check out your Instagram live if you can't first get 100 in there. And if you're a business, if you're an engineer, right, or a producer, you don't need 50,000 people on your Instagram live to check it out. You're only looking to get 3 clients right at the beginning. So 15 people check it out and they're kind of, hey, I'm looking for beats. I'm in the market. Like, you don't need 50,000 people checking out your IG live. You got to start somewhere. We don't even need 1,000 people checking out our podcast for it to be, we don't just do this because like I enjoy doing it, but like it's effective for what we're doing. We get a lot of content. And
I think there's also the benefit of getting comfortable in front of people.
Definitely.
You like to talk. You don't have a problem with it, but there's a lot of people out there that won't do a live or anything or record themselves because they don't want to hear their own voice, but then you have to go perform. Maybe you are more comfortable performing. It's different, but you have to be comfortable everywhere. I just watched that Tiger Woods documentary. His dad used to teach him how to talk to people when it came to the media, because you're not just going to be performing in life. You have to talk to your fans. If you're not comfortable talking to people online who you don't even see and just kind of talking to yourself, you have to become comfortable. And I think live and podcasts and YouTube's a good way to do that. Way back in the day when I was still a power lifter, I was doing vlogs, and that's how I got comfortable, just staring at a camera, talking to myself. I was literally just like, here's my lifts. Look at me. Maybe I'll be YouTube famous. Never panned out. But it made me very, very comfortable, like to do this, or like last year when we went to the Grammys and like talked to people. It's whatever. One day, I'm sure Elliot will be doing a TED Talk someplace and he'll be fine because of stuff like this.
Well, yeah. I mean, and the thing is when you're doing something, like when you're doing an IG live or when you're doing a podcast or when you're doing whatever it is you're doing, people go into it like, I'm not worried about me stumbling over my words or like saying a fact that I then learn I was wrong about. It's, I'll just go back the next step. I've done that before. I did that with like Eddie Van Halen. I said, oh, yeah. You know, it's this song and it was not that song. People don't really care in the moment. Like people get so caught up on, oh, I got to, all my delivery needs to be on point. I can't stumble over my words. I got to do this. I got to do that. And it becomes so overwhelming that it's like, you just got to like sit down, be who you are and have something to say. And if you're good at what you're trying to sell, whether it's your music or your service or whatever it is you're doing, people who are interested might hit you up and ask you further questions about it. So that's kind of a good lead in to like, you don't need 5,000 people to check out your YouTube channel or your podcast or your Instagram live for them to be effective. Because especially now, because you can record the content and use the content over and over again. If we really like this conversation we're having right now, you might see this on Instagram 10 months from now in some little frame and a cool thing. We're like, remember when we talked about this? Like you can use the content again and again, and you don't need a huge audience for them to be effective at the beginning. We used to do sales, you know, once a week we'd go on IG live and we'd have, I think our biggest one, we had 500 or 600 people kind of in and out of our Instagram live and on Facebook. And that was cool. But like, you know, we would have a thing where we would tell our clients, hey, don't buy, wait until Wednesday. We're going to have a sale. Like just join the show and you'll get some sort of discount. And we'd do like, you know, 15 or so orders in a night. And like, we didn't need, that's a big night for us. Like we don't need 10,000 people in there to have a success. If we have 100 people stay tuned through the whole thing and a couple hundred more kind of tune in and out and 15 of them end up buying, that's a big night for us. That's a good start. You don't need 5,000 people in your IG live for it to be effective. And you'll never ever get to that level unless you start somewhere. But yeah, so so let's get back into the podcast here. So I was going to say at the beginning, this podcast is all for you, but that would have been a lie because it is in part for what we do as well.
I've got a question for you. I'm actually, I'm changing this whole thing up on you. I know you had a question, but I have a question that I just got on Instagram. I told people who'd answer these. So as an artist, Elliot, this is why it's for you. What is the next step for someone who's overwhelmed and has a pile of unfinished projects? What would you recommend they do?
Well, that's a good question, but it's also broad. Overwhelmed about what? If you're not so like, that's a good question. So say, okay, I'm sitting on 30 songs, right? Are they all done? Done? Could I release them all tomorrow? Are they all mixed, mastered? Do I have artwork for all of them? Do which of this bundle fit on an album? It's overwhelming because you don't know yet. It's all in your head, right? Put it down on paper. What are the options? Option one, trash all the songs, move on. Option two, totally give up everything. Option three, pick of the 30 songs you're sitting on, which 10 or 12 do I really, really like? Do these fit on an album? Okay, then when you say, okay, of this bundle of songs that I'm sitting on, this percentage of them are the ones that I want to do something with. I think these three would be a single and these 10 would be an album. Okay, well then now you have the end of the road. You got to kind of work like an attorney. I want to get here. What's the step before that? Okay, and the step before that, the step before that, the step before that, and you kind of work backwards. If you say, okay, of these 30 songs I'm sitting on, it's overwhelming because I don't know what to fucking do with all of them. And I don't know if I don't want to just have 40 songs. You know, what do I do? Once you figure out what bundle of songs you want to put where, one bundle might be the trash can and that's fine. Another bundle might be these are good songs, but they're like for an album, meaning they're not like a single. You know the difference. So, but you maybe, okay, this bundle, I have three songs that would be a good single. Well, start with one single there and work toward that full album. And like, don't get caught up in, I need to have this out in exactly 8 weeks. You shouldn't be at the beginning. Don't be basing your strategy and your timeline on a calendar more so on your situation. I'm going to release this single when I have enough marketing dollars and resources to make it effective, not in 3 weeks. So if you have a bundle of songs, you're feeling overwhelmed, I don't know what to do, I'm just kind of treading water here. Find of those songs, you don't want to just throw out all 30 and do nothing with them, right? That's ineffective. Find what 10 or 12 that you really like. Find out what you can do with those songs. Maybe it's an EP or two and a couple of singles. Who knows? Whatever that recipe is for you. First, figure out what you want to do with the bundle of songs and then work backward on how can I get to this point where I'm promoting my EP the most effectively.
Yeah,
and we can help you.
From the 30,000 point view that I would take, like almost as like a project manager, I would say find one and finish it. You'll feel better. It doesn't just finish. If you don't have any finished songs, finish one. Once you finish it, you can look at what else you have and kind of figure out, does it fit with anything else? If it doesn't, it's a single. If it's not good enough, move on, finish another one, and kind of just go through it and see how it fits as you get things done. If you try to do it all looking at it now with like a bunch of beats and maybe a chorus on each song, you're not going to finish anything because you're going to try to be thinking about everything. Start to focus and kind of make your 30 songs, for example, that you're sitting on, make it two and focus on two and then move on from there.
Right. Yeah, break it down into chunks. It can be hard. Oh, I need to start a successful business is really, really overwhelming. And it's a hard, well, what do I break that down into steps? What is step one? Finish one of these songs, mix, master, absolutely everything you need done. I have one song done. Now what? Do I want to wait? Do I want to finish one more so that I can put this out and then start another one? What do I want to do? Step, lay out your options and then work off of that. I'm sure you don't want to give up. You're asking questions. You want some help. You don't want to give up. So there's cross off that option. You don't want to throw out all 30 of these songs most likely. So throw out that option. You also might not be able to finish all 30 of these songs and release them effectively. That might be another thing, even if you want to. So you need to take into consideration what your resources are, what your budget is, and say, okay, if I have this many dollars, how many songs can I finish? And if it's, say, 10, well, then you don't want to just finish 10 songs and have no dollars left to So maybe finish three and save some money for marketing and start with one. See where it leads you. Hope that one of the algorithms on Spotify, Apple Music, Instagram, wherever you're promoting or putting your music, hope that it starts helping you. But start there. Figure out what your resources are. Somebody who has 30 songs and 20 grand in the bank willing to put it all into marketing has a very different plan or options than somebody who has 30 songs and $1,000. They're a college kid or something. You know, it depends. But lay out what, just like any old business. I'm a clothing company. I want to make 15 different products. I have a great idea for hats, sweatshirts, hoodies, jackets, t-shirts, fucking bracelets, everything. Oops, but I've only got $1,000. Okay, well, you got to start somewhere. What can I start? What can I make first that will create enough money for me to create product number two without going in my pocket? Same kind of thing with music. Your music is a product. Your songs are products. Figure out which product you want to finish, polish, and release and market first.
What other questions we have? You have more?
That's a good question. Too. If you've got them, keep them coming. Oh, actually, here's a good topic. We'll go back and forth. Right. This is a broad topic. They just said, what are some tips for growing my Instagram following?
That is all you.
You got to go start something.
All right.
You have a good following. It doesn't have, so yeah.
The first tip I would make, it would be, figure out what type of content you're going to be posting. What content works matters more than what you want to post. Usually you think of your content in buckets. You can have content of you recording. You can have content of you hanging out. You can have content of just your music, like leaks. Then you have some video content of like, maybe you have YouTube videos, or you make videos like controversy or something where you're trying to call out other people. Once you figure out your content, you stick to that content and post on a schedule for people to realize it. If you're posting at 2 a.m., people aren't going to see it. Instagram's algorithm is the main driver in how your Instagram performs. So figure out what content works and then start to post content consistently. Because really, the Instagram wants to see that and your followers want to see it. If you're posting and posting and posting every 2 minutes, like some people do, and no one's liking it, it's actually going to hurt you. And then if you post once every 6 months, it's going to hurt you as well. So there is a balance. I don't think you have to schedule, but I do think having, treat it as a job. Posting 3 to 4 times a week is a job that you have to get content out, to keep people engaged, comment, engage with the people commenting. If people are saying something, comment back. You're not Drake. You don't have that many fans. You can take 10 seconds to comment back, because what's going to happen is over time, if you get bigger, when those small comments that you had are your foundation, your fan base's foundation, those comment backs, those people you made connections with. When you make a connection with a person, that's how you know later on, they'll be the ones who buy merchandise. They'll be the ones who buy your CD from your store instead of just streaming your song. They'll go to shows. And that starts now. It doesn't start when your music takes off. It's too late by then. You can have fans, but you won't have those diehard fans that a lot of people have who found them at the beginning and just supported them all the way through.
Yeah, good point. I think in terms of have meaningful content, depending on, I mean, it's tough being if a musician. Like if you're already a popular musician for kind of being who you are, like the content you can post and get away with and have it be effective is a lot different than some nobody, you know? So like if you're a business, what's really important is the audience of your audience. Instagram loves it when people share content to their friends in a group chat. They comment, hey, James, check this out. This is a great tip we can use. The audience of your audience. So this is what we do at DeNovo. I mean, every piece of content we do is, hey, did you know this? Hey, learn more about this. Here's what we are doing here. Learn more. Almost never do we try to sell. Here's a discount. Here's this or that. Come to our website. Give us your money, please. Never. Because what we want to do is we want to have a musician come across our content and say, this was helpful. Most musicians know other musicians. So if you're an audio engineer, you're trying to say, hey, how can I get people to check out my content? I'm showing the world, you know, this is a thing that happens all the time. Videographers do this. Producers do this. Audio engineers do this. They think that here's my content. That's enough. Isn't it good? It should spread itself. And to a point, I agree with you. But you've got to do more. There's the thing, if videographers were hard to find, if audio engineers were hard to find, then sure, good content would be enough. But that's not enough to get customers. So do some more. Show me you know what you're doing. Do a here's how I edited this in this song. Do a quick little thing in the studio. Boom, boom, boom. I did this. I used this tool. Do something like that, but just saying, oh, here's a song I finished. Here's a song I finished. Here's another song I finished. Here's my video. What am I buying? How much is it? What product, what service are you doing? I see the final result, but how long did it take? Where is the business? You can't just throw results. Check it out. Here's my video. It's good enough. Here. And because then it's just like people be like, oh, that's a cool video. But I'm on Instagram. I see cool videos all day long. What makes you any different? Same with audio engineers. I hear songs all day long. You just saying, here's my song. This is when I mixed. There's too many people doing that. You need to take them behind the scenes, teach them something. Here's a tip. Because the thing is if you're an audio engineer, right? Even if you're giving really, really good tips, most artists won't. Even if they know what you're talking about and see, oh, I see what he's doing. This is a great approach. They just want to focus on the music. They still wanted the engineer to do that for them. Even if what it does is it shows this guy knows what he's talking about. So when I want to hire somebody for this thing, I'm going to hire this guy because I see the finished product, but I also see him working. This guy knows what he's doing. He's talking about, I can see he does this really quickly. He knows what he's doing.
I think another thing artists have to remember is your Instagram following ultimately doesn't help you make money at the beginning. I mean, followers don't do much. My dog's about to bark. But followers on Instagram don't monetize you. They don't pay you. It doesn't mean they're listening to your music. I don't really follow any artists on Instagram that are famous that I listen to all the time. I'll follow clients to show support. Really, Instagram following is not a big deal until you're selling merchandise to the people following you. And it takes time to get there. If you assume 10% of people, 10% of your fans would go to a show, I'd guess 5% of fans in total might buy merchandise from you. So if you got 5,000 followers, you're not looking at selling merchandise yet unless you have fans. So your following will grow when you have more fans. Until then, your following is just kind of friends, family, people who support you. And you can run ads and stuff like that and hope they'll follow you. But if you're running ads asking them to go to Spotify and check out your music, you're sending them away. So you're asking them then after they listen to your song to come back and follow you. And that doesn't happen often. It's a big ask for someone. So you have to balance. Like if you want your followers to go up, you have to, it's marketing too. You have to run ads on Instagram to get followers, to get people to pay attention to you and get go to your profile, not to your Spotify or Apple Music. So you have to think about it that way. If you get them on Spotify and they listen to your song and they don't follow you, I'd almost say you're better off. You just made money. You're not going to make money just because they clicked follow on your Instagram necessarily. Right.
And I don't think it's something to be ignored. But right. It shouldn't be the end all be all. Oh, I need my Instagram following to go up. I would just say why. And most people don't have, oh, well, it's so I can, they're my fans. And like, well, how many artists do you see that have a shit ton of followers on Instagram? And then you go to their monthly listeners on Spotify and it's 98. So like, there's a big, big difference. But the thing is like, maybe that doesn't mean you should ignore them. Like say, like we talk about this all the time. Like I look up Snoop Dogg videos on YouTube and Instagram because I think he's funny, but I then don't like go listen to his music often. But that's because he's kind of created the personality and a ton of content that isn't his music. That's just him being him. Kind of goes back to what you were saying. What kind of content are we talking about here? Is it just general awareness? Look at me. Is there a specific call to action? Is it just, hey, I'm trying to be relevant and this is the latest fucking thing on TikTok and I got to do it too? There's a lot of that. And the thing is like people can see like, the thing is if you're running a music business or if you're a musician, this is a little bit different. Like if I own a record studio and I'm trying to get clients, the way I use Instagram there is much different than if I'm trying to grow a following to anyone anywhere to listen to my music. If I'm an audio engineer and I work with people in person, I don't necessarily care about having 50,000 followers in the United States. I really only need 50 clients around the city I live in. So I'm going to approach Instagram a lot different that way. If I'm an artist, I'm trying to get people anywhere to listen to my music. But the thing is actually when you approach it that way, I'm trying to hit everybody everywhere. That's actually an awful strategy unless you have a ton of money and organic reach. It's one thing if you're a wizard at making awesome content and you are hitting in everything you're posting is getting 20,000 likes, then just keep going. But if you're kind of trying to get off the ground, trying to hit everyone everywhere is an awful strategy. You should focus on the, say, okay, these are my three cities that I'm going to try to start in. And these are where I'm going to run my ads at people this age, not everybody everywhere, because I'm just trying to get as many likes as possible. That doesn't work. You need to know generally what type of people you're going after and then find more of those type of people. Another question. we have some more questions coming in from all of these. Yeah. Oh, actually, one last thing I want to say that it kind of seems like cliche, or dumb, but Instagram still lets you put up to 30 hashtags on a caption. And the way around it is a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't want to look, and it does kind of look kind of messy on the caption, right? If you have a big caption, then all of a sudden there's all fucking paragraph of hashtags. So the way around it is every single post you post, you can put up to 30 hashtags in the first comment. If you, right when you post, if you're the first comment, so you post and then you right away, you go and you post a comment on your own post, Instagram treats it the same. And after somebody, even if nobody comments on it, it still kind of buries itself. It just, you know, view one comment. It doesn't like list all 30 hashtags, but we get thousands and thousands of impressions on hashtags. And it's something over, I see people all the time not doing it. And I'm like, you guys are missing out on a bunch of free promotion. And so the way you, what you do start out is you start really generic. You find hip hop, hashtag rap, hashtag North, you know, hashtag East Coast rap, whatever. You start super big, kind of the first things you can think of. And then you kind of say, hey, these posts where I did group A of hashtags, this got a lot more impressions than group B. I'm going to use these hashtags more. That's a free, people now still don't do that. And I don't know why. But you're missing, we get a bunch of followers and impressions because people, what they do is if you, especially this gets back to the audience of your audience. If you're giving good content and it's actually a good tip, somebody actually learned something, or maybe they didn't, you make them look at something in a different way than they've looked at it before. They kind of go, who are these guys? And if they click on your profile and all of a sudden they start scrolling and they see 10 or 15 things that they think are interesting, they're going to start perusing and liking a few things here and there. Maybe they don't buy your service right away, but now they're aware of you. Maybe they follow you. Guys are missing out on a ton of free publicity by not putting up to 30 hashtags in the first comment. I don't know why anybody doesn't do this.
Instagram's been moving more towards like following hashtags. Like people follow topics, and that's how they really, it gets you on the discover page if you use the correct one. So like they are beneficial. I understand how some people don't want the spam comments and stuff, but whatever. They also hide themselves. And okay, now you have 9 comments on a picture that you just posted. That's going to look better than nothing. In the grand scheme, even if someone looks and goes, "Oh, it's a bunch of spam," it's not like you went and bought spam comments. I'm sure people do, but just by putting the hashtags as a comment, other people can do it for you too. If you have a friend who supports you or a manager, they could comment and put the hashtags, and they would work the same way if you don't want to be the one doing it. But they are beneficial.
Definitely.
So I've got a question for you. That
another
pretty much not a trick question, but something I already know your answer. What is a realistic time frame for marketing with a consistent budget to take off?
Come on. Okay. I mean, we're laughing because we get these. What? That's a good question, right? Good question. But you got think about it a little bit more. What is your budget? Is it $1 million? Is it $1,000? What is a consistent budget? Consistent for how long? Consistent for 3 months or 2 years? You got to, the thing is it's so ambiguous, right? A music business. A pizza business in your mind isn't as abstract. I need a building. I need to make good pizza. I need people to come into my pizza shop. I need to sell them pizza. Rinse, repeat. Do it again. Get good reviews. Don't leave, you know, a screwdriver in the pizza on accident. A music business is so ambiguous, abstract, right? And it's different for everybody. So like one, that's a good question because you're coming from the right perspective. Well, I need to... What is the timeline I should expect for my realistic budget? What you need to understand is there is no realistic time. You can't go to business 101 and say, this is typically the first year of a business looks like this. Go ahead.
Just step back from music for a second. Think about startups. Think about how many startups fail, no matter how much money they have.
What was the Quibi?
What is that?
Exactly. There was like this big thing. They got, I don't know, maybe $1 billion or something, hundreds of millions of dollars in funding, because it was like all the content was going to be like 8 minutes or less. It was going to be like this new thing of Netflix, and they promoted the hell out of it. It was like during the NBA playoffs or something, they were like promoting the absolute hell out of it. And within a year, they completely shut it down.
Yeah. So if you think about, if you guys want, look up Y Combinator in California. It's a big startup camp, pretty much. They get you funding, they pay for your idea, they'll help you do it. They have the highest success rate in the US to get businesses going. And they still, I don't think, have 50% success rate. Most businesses fail. It doesn't matter. You're running a business. Ultimately, you can have all the money in the world and be as consistent as you want marketing, but if your consumer doesn't like it, it's not going to take off. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much money you put in. You can put in a bunch of money and go viral with one song, and it may not be viral for the reasons you want it to be. They may not like it. It may become like a William Hung on American Idol. Like, he went viral. He made a bunch of money off of that. If that's right. That might happen. It might work. But ultimately, it doesn't matter your money at all. Well, and even think about labels. 90% of artists that sign to labels don't become major artists. They have the talent and the money, and they still don't become a major artist. So there isn't an answer to this. It is, there's luck involved. There is always luck involved. And then there is the other question of consumer preference. How much do they like it? Do they like it more than other people? Because in a way, you are competing. People only have so long in the day. They have 24 hours in a day. They can only listen to certain stuff. If they don't like it more than something, Tyler Hero or by Jack, whoever his name is again, I forget now, Jack Harlow.
Jack Black.
If they don't like it more than the Beatles, and they're a Beatles fan, they're going to listen to the Beatles.
Right, that's a high bar. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
If they don't like it more than Elliot's music, they're going to listen to Elliot over you. So it's not that they don't like it, period. It's the competition of what you're going against as well. Just like if you owned a pizza shop, you'd have competition. Just because you get them in the door once and they like the pizza, if you're further away or not on the top of their mind, it's pretty much what it is, they won't go back to you. You have to be there. So it's not like you'll take off and never have to do anything again. Labels pay all the time. I always use the example of Will Smith and Joyner Lucas advertising nonstop when they came out with their last song. I know who Will Smith is. I know who Joyner Lucas is. They're everywhere. And yet, I think it's Warner they're on, was throwing money at ads for them to get people to realize like, oh, Will Smith still releases music. And that's what an independent artist is doing every day. You're not Will Smith, but every day you have to tell people, I have music, I have music, I have music, listen to it. Because if you don't, they're always going to go something else. And that's what the consistent marketing budget helps with. It's not going to help you take off per se at the beginning. Over time, compounding efforts will. But at the beginning, it is consistently marketing to get people to consistently listen.
And they spread it on their own.
Yeah.
Like
exactly.
And what's really important is you need to be able to set what success is to you. If you say, hey, okay, if my goal is I want to make an album, I want to perform with my band every spring and summer, and I want to do 15 shows and we want to make an extra $8,000 a piece because we love music and we want to make a little bit of money. We have so much fun performing. That is cool. The way you approach that goal is very different than if I want to be the next Kendrick Lamar. And the thing is often, ooh, this is actually great. So people often look at the status. I want to be like Wiz Khalifa. I want to be like Travis Scott. I want to be like, I like his fan base. I want my fans to be like this. Like, okay, one, let's take Kendrick. Let's use Kendrick Lamar and Travis Scott as the examples. I think a lot of people completely disregard or forget to put into the equation. They see, oh, well, I really like how Kendrick Lamar connects with his fans. Like, and like, he's just real. And he seems to be doing his own thing. And like, he doesn't chase hits or whatever. Like, yeah, but he's also one of the best, most talented lyricists ever. And it looked okay. So like, there's that. So like the talent. So right away, he's got a top 1% talent of the history of rap. And you're already comparing, I want to be like that. And okay, so now maybe he's at the top of his game. He's been at the top of his game for like the, what, the last 5, 10 years? Five, that's a long time. 3, 5 years? I don't know. But you also disregard all the work, the 15 years leading up to this point. So like a lot of people say, well, I want to be like this, but they don't have any of the backup work started. Or it's almost like someone says, I want to be in amazing shape. I want to be an Olympian. And then you go to the gym for like 2 weeks and you're like, you know what? I don't like the process enough to want. What I want is this vision. I want to be a rock star, but what I don't love is what it takes to get there. You need to love the process. You need to love the process of going through shit music and then eventually making good music. You need to go through the process of having absolutely no idea what you're doing with your marketing and learning it. These people don't, most artists, most whatever artists you're thinking of that you want your fan base to be like, they didn't just get selected out of nowhere. Maybe like you see the once in a lifetime, the Lil Nas X got a beat on BeatStars and it popped. And okay, but you know what? We'll probably never hear from him again. And you might get the once in a lifetime thing like that, but most people are approaching it as they want to start and grow a fan base and build it real big over time. And like they see the end picture. I want to be an Olympian. I want to be like Travis Scott. I want my concerts to look like Kendrick Lamar's with a full band at an arena with 60,000 people. That's what I want. But they're not in love with the process of going through all the shit that Kendrick Lamar did for 15 years getting up to this point.
Now I've got something to add on to it. Your gym scenario.
Yeah.
Just like the gym, what people do is look for a cheat way out. Gym, they buy steroids.
Steroids or this little pill.
There must be a way to accelerate it.
So
you try to accelerate it and it's fake and it falls apart. Mm-hmm. And that's what people do in music. Obviously, it's not steroids, but you're looking for that quick fix of like, well, if I can just blow up on TikTok, I'll just pay $1,000 for someone to do a dance on TikTok. That will do it.
That'll do it.
Mm. It gets you a little bit, but then you're right back to zero. Like it does nothing. Yeah. You buy a month worth of playlists and you stop. Okay, same thing. You're back to zero. Like
right.
You did a little bit of marketing. Cool. You ran a Facebook ad.
You went to the gym for a week. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
You did a little bit and then you stopped and you went, there must be a faster way. So then instead of running a Facebook ad for a week, you spent $1,000 on one day of Facebook ads and went, that will do it. And it doesn't. And it's a good way to think about it that we haven't used that before. But
one more thing we can add to the same example, right? So, okay, you want to be an Olympian. You want to be in amazing shape. There are people who are born more susceptible to be able to be in amazing shape, right? But they still put in the work. Michael Jordan has the genetics to just be an amazing basketball player, but he loved the process of getting better and doing it all the time. And if you're going to compare yourself to Kendrick Lamar, you better look at the work ethic of a Kobe Bryant or a Michael Jordan, the top 1% to ever do what they do. If you want to have a Travis Scott fan base or a Kendrick Lamar fan base, top 1% of anyone who's ever done what they do, then you better have a top 1% work ethic. Because even Lil Nas X, who went absolutely completely through the roof in popularity, I doubt he could do a 60,000 seat arena on his own, right? Because people are a fan of the song. They're not a fan of him. Mm-hmm. In a way. I'm sure you know what I mean. He doesn't have if people aren't going to go see a Lil Nas X arena show, but people will go see a Travis Scott and no one else. A Kendrick Lamar and no one else, no opener, no nothing. 60,000 people, probably no problem, maybe pre-COVID. But Lil Nas X would always be a show with five people. He'd be one of them. He'd come out for 20 minutes and he'd do his show. And no disrespect to him. I'm just trying to show the difference, right? So set your goals. And I want my fans to be like Travis Scott's fan base, and I am willing to invest $200 a month. And I'm not going to make any content, and I'm not going to do anything. My music is so good, it should just carry itself. That's what most musicians say on some level. The music is good enough, I don't need to market it. Or, you know, I'm against marketing it because that's giving in to the man or some bullshit. And okay, I feel you. I feel it. I'm a musician myself. I wish I didn't have to promote my music. The thing is there are too many musicians. 40,000 songs a day are uploaded on the Spotify. You can't just throw your shit into the ocean. Pick me. Imagine everyone is just throwing their message in a bottle into the ocean. 40,000 of them, boom, and then hoping that like somebody picks the one that goes viral. Pick me. Like, I'm available in this sea of infinite fucking music all the time, and I'm not going to promote it because I'm above that. That's what most people that's the hump you need to get over. Even if you have an app, you could have the next Bohemian Rhapsody, you could have the next, what's that fucking big Travis Scott and Drake song? Jesus, I'm getting old.
I was going to say Life's Good, but that's with Future.
this huge one that got, I'm on couple of Zans when I land.
Yeah.
whatever.
Oh, no.
Jesus, I'm getting old. Whatever that bit super big song was.
Wow.
Holy shit.
It's,
yeah. I mean, out well, like a light. Yeah, right. Okay. So you could have the next whatever song that is.
Something mode.
Sicko mode.
There we go.
Okay. So there we go. Okay. Travis Scott and Drake, right? Of course, that song was humongous. You could be sitting on the next sicko mode, the next big, wow, I've never heard a song that did all this. And this is really cool. That song probably won song in the hip hop song of the year or something on some award somewhere. but you could be sitting on that song. And the thing is there's too much noise. Even if you have the absolute greatest song anyone's ever heard, if you can't cut through the noise, if people don't hear it, it's not going to do anything. Even if you're like, you know, I have 2,000 fans that I know and they're really supportive. Okay, great. Even if all of them listen to it 10 times and they all share it, it's not enough. You have to do other things. You have to get attention. And
a good example.
There's no way around it.
A good example of that is people often buy features from bigger artists and they go nowhere at all because they don't market it. They bought the feature and they go, people will find it. They won't. That's the thing. I think that's the biggest part about this. People don't just find things. It's put in front of them. If it's not put in front of them, they're not going to find it. That's just how America really is. That's how human nature is at this point. If you're not being told to listen to it, if it's not just being played like the radio, they're not going to find it. But all right. Do you have?
Okay. Here's a good question. So I'll preface this by saying James was a professor at Florida State University for a bit. Then you also did some sort of teaching at Georgia, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
University of Georgia.
Okay. So this is a good question. Is going to a major college like Full Sail to learn the music business a good idea?
It's all about the money, the best way to put it. If you can afford it and you are going there for a reason, not just to learn about the music business. Learning about the music business can be done for $20 through Amazon.
It can be done for $9.99 in the 6 Steps to a Profitable Fan Base ebook from DeNovo Agency. That's right, James. For just $9.99, you can get a copy of A Quick, Easy Way to 6 Steps to a Profitable Music Business, available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and DeNovoAgency.com.
Anyway.
You got to plug our book, dude. You can't just say, oh, yeah, for $20, you can go buy somebody else's book. No.
So there's a lot of books. Like, there's ours. There's a lot of books. and they wouldn't cost you much money to sit down and read about the music business. For $9.99, you can buy.
Wow, just $9.99. What a great deal.
So if you're just trying to learn about everything as much as you can do it for much cheaper. If you go to a major university like that, there should be a reason. Are you going for the connections you get at the university like that? Are you going because the university places a lot of people at Rock Nation? Are you going because you want to be an engineer and they have an engineering program that will get you further than going and shadowing someone and hoping you learn? And on top of all that, can you afford that? If you can't afford it, a lot of people, even the people we know, are self-taught engineers, self-taught producers. They don't go to school for this. You can go to school and kind of get the ins and outs. You can do an online certificate to kind of tweak yourself a little bit and get a little bit better, which is a lot more affordable. If you want to be in the music business as a manager or a marketer or a lawyer, whatever like that you want to do, I wouldn't say you go to a school specifically for music, because all you're doing is hurting your future potential of openings. You're much better off going to a business school, learning the theory in business, what is business and the theory behind it, and applying it to music. Getting experience in music will be better than learning specific examples applied to music, because all it's going to hurt you with employers later on. So while I'm not going to say don't enter music, I mean, I'm going to say keep your options open, because if you go to someplace like Full Sail and get a degree in music business management, it hurts when you don't go into music business management. You are now a step below everyone else who just did a business management degree and then had a concentration in music. You can go to any university. You don't have to go to Orlando to Full Sail, which is literally right down the road from my parents. Like, it's a great location, great school, but if you're not already there, it's very expensive to live there and go to the school in hopes of working in music. If you think about it, I don't know of any major label that's based in Orlando. So like, cool, you're at Full Sail in Orlando, but now when it comes time to get an internship or a job, you're trying to get to New York City, Atlanta, Nashville, and LA.
Chicago,
that's maybe not easy. The closest place is Miami, and now your competition's through the roof because they've got University of Miami and FIU. So if you want to get into the music business, my recommendation would be go to a school in the city you want to be in, or teach yourself and get certificates from the school. Schools are good for connections and
right.
Really when you apply to jobs, standing out from competition. But if you're doing this on your own, you don't need a degree. If you're just good at it, you don't need a degree. You're not trying to impress. An artist isn't going to come to you and say, where do you learn how to do your engineering? I like it, but I'm not sure if I want to work with you did you go to Georgia?
Let's see some qualifications.
And same with a producer. If you're selling beats, there. Imagine if BeatStars had that, an education right. tab, like produced by.
Yeah.
It just doesn't matter to a certain extent.
Yeah. I won't say going to Full Sail or a music school is a bad idea, period. Definitely not. I think in order to make it the best, most effective idea depends on your personality, because the biggest benefit I would say of going to a music school, say opposed to, okay, I really want to be an engineer. I could either work at a studio and apprentice at a studio and be an intern just like you would be at Full Sail, but I'm working directly with this person. Depending on your personality, depending on what you want to do, that might be more beneficial. If you're saying, I want to go meet a bunch of people who are going to be in the entertainment industry and I want to make connections and I'm going to be going out of my way to meet a bunch of people and get these connections and do XYZ, then it is beneficial. But like James said, it comes down, it's not free. If it was just, yeah, sign up and if you get in, awesome, then sure. But if it's 40 grand a year and you're not getting paid to do the work, a lot of music is a unique thing, because almost like film. If somebody's an amazing director, do you care where they went to school, or do you just like that they're an amazing director? If somebody can produce an amazing record, do you care if they made it out of kindergarten? No. to a point. Maybe if you're, if I own a studio and I'm trying to hire an engineer and there's three left and I'm trying to pick one, maybe, oh, it's really close. This guy went to Full Sail. I don't know the other two. Okay, maybe. But it really comes down to who can do the work. So it's not a bad idea, but it isn't an end all be all of if I go, I'm going to make it in the music industry.
I would argue that going to someplace like Berkeley and Full Sail would help you get the connections to break into the industry. But most likely, just like every other entry level job, you wouldn't be doing what you want to be doing. Mm-hmm. Being an apprentice is a much easier path in if you can get one, because you'll have a connection at that studio. And if you're good, they will most likely take you. It's like any internship. You can be an apprentice if you're teach yourself, most likely, a lot of places. I don't see the, if you're going to a school to try to be an artist, it's probably not worth it, would be my recommendation there. That as an artist, you can probably hire a vocal coach for cheaper than going to a school and read a book and be better off in terms of learning the music business. It's funny because people ask me all the time about like law school, like why did I go to Florida State or where should they go if they want to be in the music industry? And I laugh because my entertainment law professor definitely knows less than I do now. At the time, he was
just probably, because you've been in it. Yeah.
Like he probably knew more than me, but he was just some local attorney who was like, oh yeah, I've helped people sign management deals before. He gave us Donald Passman's book and that was our homework.
Read this
book. He comes into class and then he would go through that chapter. And then that was the whole semester. And then his final was someone walks into your office and asks you to tell them everything you know about the music business. So he literally just wanted us to give him a book report. And that we paid thousands of dollars for this. And what it taught me was law schools in general, law schools aren't going to help you learn apply specifically for music. Like if you want to be in music, most of it's going to be teaching yourself and experiencing it, going out of your way to learn more. Even paying for a school doesn't mean it's going to be enough. I highly doubt that you can pay to go Full Sail, come out and Rock Nation's going to go, hey, perfect, you can be our tour manager. Because I'm guessing Full Sail is going to tell you where a tour is and what a tour manager does for high level, but doesn't tell you the details and how to get
how
it done.
How to be a good one.
You have to go and learn like what's good, what's bad, what have other people done? What should I get paid? Why should a tour manager do it this way?
Right.
And how many stops are too many? What about my openers in each town? Like there's a lot that goes into it that it would take a full class to learn.
Right.
Law school for me, I could have had a full class. I did have a full class on copyrights. My entertainment law class didn't touch copyrights because he probably didn't know what the heck they were. That's a huge part. And that just tells you how vast music is and how big of a landscape you're dealing with. What are you saying?
Right. Well, that it is true. It's such a wide landscape. And it's like, and consider like, okay, yeah, when you go to Full Sail, or any college, you graduate, you're what, 23? Okay, so say I don't even know what an amazing accountant school would be, but whatever. I went to
Harvard.
Yale. Yeah, Yale. And I graduated Yale. And I want to be an accountant. Like, you don't just right away are given the, oh, sweet, here's Jeff Bezos's account, because you are an entry level. You still need a lot of experience to prove you know what you're doing. Can you apply this knowledge to the real life scenario? Sweet, you learned all day long how a tour works, but can you do it? You learned all day long how the theory of a good beat, but do you know rhythm? Can you work with a client? Those are things you can't really teach in a classroom environment. There are just some things you have to learn by doing. I can teach you all. I can hold a guitar up all day long and tell you how to play it for years. But until I give it to you so you can fuck around with it and make mistakes and correct them and learn how to get good at this new tool, you got to have some hands-on experience. So the thing is like, a college degree in music isn't going to replace a lack of hard work. If you're not motivated to do a lot of hard work, then music is probably not the thing for you. Unless you have amazing talent, because most people who make it in the industry are people who have great talent, but an amazing work ethic.
And even getting A's at one of these schools doesn't mean you're any better than someone who got the C's is the issue. And so I, a little off topic, I believe now college is a pyramid scheme. Those who can't do go back to school. And then they teach someone else who can't do and they
to just stay in the system.
And then it's like, it's crazy if you think about it. Like, oh, I couldn't get like a lot of, not to bash on these people, but a lot of sport management people can't get jobs, especially with COVID. So they went back and got their master's. They still couldn't get a job. So then they go get a PhD, which then they get hired to teach other sport management people who like, and so it hurts me to say it, but you can learn just as much outside of the school. The reason to go to school is really connections and location. If you're stuck in North Dakota and you want to make it in music and your parents won't let you leave without going to school, school is probably a good way to get to New York City, LA, Orlando, Miami. It gets you out and that is worth it. But if you're just down the road, if you live in Tampa and you're just like, maybe if I go Full Sail, I'll make it. I'm going to say, no, you won't. Because if that's your reasoning, it's not going to get there. Buy our book, buy some other books, sit down, read them, and you'll learn what you need to know. But again, just like school, you can learn what you need to know, but it doesn't matter if you don't try to apply it. So knowing is half the battle in this situation.
And having instinct, right? Instinct, yeah. People can take business classes for years and years and get A pluses, but just being an entrepreneur, starting a business is a particular personality type. You need, like, being a successful music artist, you need to have certain characteristics. It doesn't matter how good you do in school. Like, who cares how Bob Dylan did in class? You know, who cares if Dr. Dre went to mixing school in the 80s? Does it matter, or is the proof in the pudding? I think the proof is in the pudding. Spielberg didn't go to film school.
Think about, like, coaches. He
just did it. Yeah.
Bill Belichick didn't go get a sport management master's. Like, he's just a coach. Right. He learned it and did it. He applied it.
Just does it.
So back to the initial question was, I mean, not even Full Sail specifically. Any school, for any reason, doesn't have to be music. You need more than just, maybe it will help me. There is more than that. Like, make
sure
you've
got to make it help you.
And like, it will teach you some stuff. But now, if it taught you, are you driven to do it, or do you just want a desk job? And that's fine. I mean, if you just want to get a job at a Rock Nation, you don't need a degree. Go be a mail clerk and work your way up. That's like the classic story of a lot of people. Like, you don't need that degree. And even if you get the degree, you're still going to start as a mail clerk.
So, yeah, you're still going to start at the bottom. Like,
the benefit is, well, like I said at the beginning, it comes down to money. Can you afford to do this? Can you afford to sink that money into this or take out loans? If Bernie was president, maybe my answer would be different.
I mean, I think that's some good perspective. I think we have a bunch more of these questions. If you have questions, send them to contact@denovoagency.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, and we answer questions like this all the time on Instagram. So if you have a question about any of our campaigns or how else we can help you grow a music business, definitely reach out to us and tune in next week to the next episode of the Business of Music podcast.
The Business of Music podcast, presented by DeNovo Agency. DeNovoAgency.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Business of Music podcast. We love to hear feedback. Shoot us an email to contact@denovoagency.com so we can answer your questions on the next episode. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel to learn even more and check out denovoagency.com to see how we can help you grow your music business. Until next time, this has been the Business of Music podcast.